Dear Father in heaven, we as a group of your children desire to come before thee now at this another session of the convention here. We come together to listen to the words that have been prepared for us through your servant, Brother Sid. We ask that our hearts might be in tune to the message and to the words that will be spoken to us. May they find a lodging place in our heart. And may we gain a greater appreciation of the truth and understanding of your plans and purposes and our trust in the simple things of this message that will be presented to us. Father, we thank thee for allowing us to be here at convention. We thank you for this arrangement and the brethren that have made this possible, and we look forward to the blessings and the fellowship to follow. And now we wait patiently for the words that will be spoken to us. Guide our brother's lips and his thoughts. Be with us this next hour, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Brother Sid Jones from Selkirk, Manitoba, Canada, is our northern representative of this convention. I hope I got that right. And Brother Jones has chosen for his topic, his discourse, a lesson from Lamentations. Brother Sid.
Even as the Apostle Paul wrote to the brethren in Philippi, chapter 1 and verse 3, I thank my God for every remembrance of you. And dear brethren, Sister Joan and I are very happy to be here in this convention. And we do thank our Lord that we have this opportunity to be together for these 2 days of convention. And we come with a load of love from your brethren in Selkirk, Manitoba. Actually, we came with two loads of love because Monday was our Thanksgiving Day. And those that we had the Thanksgiving with were the same ones that we had our meeting with on Sunday, who all voted to send their loving greetings to you all. And we're very happy to bring that love to you. And you may remember them in prayer as they are growing older, and they need your prayers very much. We were here in Pittsburgh 30 years ago, this past week, I think it was. We had the privilege of going to Brother Russell's grave at that time, and on the back of the photo which we took there, we saw the date, September 25, 1965. So that's a long time ago. Well, we enjoy this place very much, and we do love you all very much. I thought we might speak a little on Lamentation, just one passage from Lamentation, the third chapter, verses 24 to 26. And we'll compare this with a few other scriptures, talk about it a bit, and we hope that we might be uplifted by the Word of God. So, turning our attention then to Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 24 to 26. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, and to the soul that seeketh him. And it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Well, dear brethren, we are living in a particular time in the world's history when we find so much unrest and so much turmoil, so much impatience and anxiety all around us, discontent, discouragement, that it's very hard to be quiet and patient and to wait on the Lord. And as we draw closer to the end of the gospel age and the harvest work that is going on, it becomes increasingly hard for us to separate ourselves from the great turmoil that is all about us in the world, all this discontent. It's a faster life, it's a hurried pace, there are more demands on everyone's time, and there is this restlessness all about us. And it has led to much indifference and apathy and coolness amongst many. And this is why we want to stay very close to the Lord and to learn to trust and to hope and to wait and to quietly wait on our Lord. One example of the pace of life that we experience today is the Sunday shopping. Now, this is something that has just recently come to Canada, but I'm sure you here in the States have experienced this for a longer time, but there's no slowing down at all anymore. It's just business as usual, day after day after day. And this has its effect on all of us. But we don't want it to affect our consecrated walk and our desire to know the Lord and to be guided by Him and to wait patiently on His guidance. There are two or three key thoughts and words in this passage. The word hope suggests expectation or having a desire for something with this expectation. Waiting suggests watchfulness. And then we have this added dimension of quietly waiting. And to quietly wait on the Lord would be to remain in a state of this rest that we're talking about. It suggests having a peace of mind and patient endurance and submission or a rest of faith. And these are the kind of things that we want to think upon and to draw closer to the Lord with this desire to know His will and to wait on His will for us in our lives. And then this passage is addressed to those who are seeking the Lord, or those who are searching with a desire to know and to be led by Him. So we have this anxiety and discontent and discouragement all around us. And it reminds us of some of the thoughts that are presented in the morning resolve. Now, we had the morning resolve read to us by Brother David at the beginning of the convention, and was also drawn to our attention by Brother Byron. And I'm going to just draw your attention to it as well, because these are the kind of things that will help us to counteract this spirit of discontent and anxiety that's all about us. We trust ourselves to divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare. And I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, and all discouragement. And I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providences may permit. As faith can firmly trust Him, come what may. This is the antidote, really, for the world in which we live. And we'd like to turn our attention back to the 40th chapter of Isaiah. And we'll have a look at verses 28 to 31. Isaiah says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, and neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. The lesson of the eagle is one that is drawn to our attention here. And the eagle is the bird that flies high above the turmoil of the earth, high above all the discontent and all the discouragement that is on earth. The eagle is a picture of the Lord's people who soar high and are closer to the Heavenly Father. And in this particular passage, is drawn to our attention the action word of running and walking, as opposed to sitting or standing. There is action with those who are seeking to know the Lord and to walk in His ways, as opposed to those who remain motionless or silent. The Apostle said in 1 Corinthians that we run to obtain the prize. And again in Hebrews, it is said that we run with patience. It shows action and a desire to know the Lord and to walk in newness of life. And we walk by faith and not by sight. These are things that are drawn to our attention in this passage, that we must have action and a desire to be led and guided by the Heavenly Father and be as these eagles that soar high above the earth. And in Psalms 25, I'd like to consider a few of these passages in this chapter. Psalm 25 is a psalm of David. We'll only take time to touch on a few of the important points in this passage. But beginning with verse 1, it reads, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not thine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, and on thee do I wait all the day." This psalm from David draws our attention to the necessity of being led and taught of God. To be taught of the Heavenly Father would be the greatest privilege in our lives, in our consecrated walk. To have God show us His ways, and to teach us His ways, and to be led by Him, and to be taught in the ways of truth and of righteousness. And then verse 9 identifies those who will be taught in this fashion. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His ways. And we see here the emphasis on meekness for those who would be led and guided by the Heavenly Father. And to be meek means to be submissive, to be docile or humble. It also means to be willing to endure injury with patience and without resentment. The meekness is that part of the consecrated child of God that will be especially appreciated by God as we seek to know and to do His will, to be meek and teachable and submissive. In Psalm 147, verse 6, it says that the Lord lifts up the meek. And again in Psalm 149, verse 4, He will beautify the meek with salvation. And of course, we have the perfect example of our Lord Jesus, who was meek and lowly of heart. And we'd like to turn to Isaiah again, and chapter 61, which is a passage referring to our Lord Jesus, and one in which he quotes from himself in Luke chapter 4. But this is the prophecy of our Lord Jesus. Isaiah 61, beginning with verse 1. Isaiah says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And these other beautiful and important parts of this great prophecy concerning our Lord Jesus and the coming kingdom. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, and the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Jesus was anointed to preach good tidings unto the meek. And we appreciate this great prophecy in connection with our Lord Jesus, and the very one that he quoted from, as we said, in Luke chapter 4. Our Lord Jesus was meek, and as we desire to be copies of him, we want to learn to be meek and humble and submissive, and to learn to wait on the Lord and his direction in our lives. And it's more important even as the days grow more evil. Now, over in James, in chapter 4, I'd like to consider a couple of things here, beginning with verse 6, James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Here in this important passage, we have drawn to our attention the difference between pride and humility. And pride is something that we want to eliminate from our characters, something that we want nothing to do with. We want to draw ourselves to the Lord and to be guided and directed by him, and to learn to be his disciple and to wait on him and his direction. Pride is that high or inordinate opinion that one has of oneself. And this pride can be shown either in an outward way, or it can also be hidden inside. Many can have hidden pride, and we want to be extremely aware of this hidden pride, and to draw nigh to the Lord, and to learn to wait upon him and his providence for us. Humility, on the other hand, suggests being modest of one's own significance. This is a very important element in the Christian's walk, to eliminate pride and to be more humble, more teachable, to learn to wait and to hope, to quietly wait upon the Lord. In Colossians, the third chapter, we have drawn to our attention the putting off of the old man and the putting on of the new man in this chapter. To put off those things that are of the flesh and of the world, and to put on those things that are more becoming to our Christian walk and character. To put on, therefore, mercy, as is brought out in verse 12. To put on mercy and kindness and humbleness and meekness and long-suffering, and learning to forbear and to forgive, and to do all of this with love. These are the things that we, as the Lord's people, are admonished to do. And again, in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. Dear brethren, our Lord learned to wait upon God. He learned to quietly wait upon God's direction in his life, which is a lesson for each one of us in the great turmoil of life that we find all about us. It's more and more important all the time that we seek to follow the Lord and his perfect example for us. He did not meditate a usurpation, as a Diaglot translation presents this for us. You know, we have the illustration of the Pharisees, who always did those things to be seen of men, to always take the higher seats. But we must humble ourselves and to be obedient even unto death. And if we turn to Matthew 23, beginning with verse 1, in connection with those things that the religious leaders at that time that did as a show of flesh. And then spoke Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, and all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not say ye after their works, for they say, and they do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men, and make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garment. And they love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogue, and the greetings in the markets, and to be called Rabbi." We see how these religious leaders in Jesus' day were proud. And he gives this illustration to show that they were not seeking nor doing the Heavenly Father's will. But we have this lesson for us, that we want to put aside those things of the flesh, pride, and to learn to wait and to hope upon the Lord. And another illustration is in Luke chapter 14. and verse, beginning with verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What a valuable lesson for each of us in our consecrated walk, that we put aside those things of the flesh and to learn to wait patiently and quietly on the Heavenly Father and His will for us. Now back to Isaiah again in chapter 30, chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25, beginning with verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering which has been cast over all the people, and the veil that has been spread over all nations. And he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, and we have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Dear brethren, what a wonderful passage of Scripture this is. The time when the kingdom is established and when the whole world will be at peace, and to learn to wait upon the Heavenly Father's blessing and guidance in their lives. And dear brethren, as we have made a consecration to do the Lord's will and to be guided and directed by Him, it's very, very important that we stay together and to seek His word and His will in our lives. And we're very thankful for the great privilege of coming together in these conventions like this. This is one of those old-fashioned conventions that we love so much. And dear brethren, we do love you all so very much. And we would like each one to be faithful and to have an abundant share in that most wonderful kingdom. And then we will close then with Lamentations chapter 3 again. Verses 24 to 26. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, and therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, and to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and to quietly wait upon the salvation of the Lord. And may God bless each one who is here in his presence.
I thank you, Brother Sid, and I'm sure that brought to all of our attention this pride and humility, but most of all, to wait, quietly wait, patiently for the kingdom. Don't run before the Lord. Before we close, and we're going to close with hymn 87, and we're going to ask Brother Sid to close with a prayer and also ask a blessing on our evening meal while he does so. The procedure, for all not familiar with our meal, is you go downstairs, take a seat at the table, wherever you choose, and you'll be served. Another thing, we need 60 chairs or 50 chairs downstairs, but all those under 60 need not carry any. So if you just pause for a couple minutes up here until they carry the chairs down, and then you go down and take your seat.
Those over 60 not carry, not under.
Under 60 carry. That's me. I'm under 60. I get to carry it. I was trying to get out of it somehow, but I can't get out of it. Okay. Yes, that's right. Over 60 not need to carry. So with that, then we'll close this portion of our convention and with hymn 87, all four verses. Hymn 87, and we'll rise on the last verse, and Brother Sid will dismiss us. Pray.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for all the way that Thou hast led us, each one who is here bowed in Thy presence. And we do thank Thee so very much for the opportunity that we have come here to this convention. We thank Thee especially for the gift of Thy dear Son who died for us. We thank Thee for Thy wonderful word of truth and these scriptures that have been written for our admonition. And we pray that we might walk more circumspectly and in Thy sight, that we might grow in grace and in knowledge of Thy perfect will, that we might learn to quietly wait upon Thee and hope to put our complete hope in Thee and trust in Thee that Thou wilt guide and direct us, that we might be faithful and that one day we might have the great privilege of sharing in Thy kingdom and to see Thee as Thou art. We ask now that Thy blessing would be upon our evening fellowship and our meal that which has been provided by this ecclesia, and we thank Thee for each other, and we do love Thee so very much, dear Father. And we ask these things all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.